Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, just listen. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, here, the word gifts is not in the original, but the word here is not spirits, as we, in Greek, as we learned this morning for chapter 14 and verse 12. But it is one that requires the reader to supply the additional word in accordance with the context. And they have supplied the word gifts here because the context basically is about gifts. But the context is really about more than gifts. In fact, in this chapter, it's about operations and administrations of the Spirit. And then it goes on to talk about love, and then exercise of gifts and so forth. And really the better and the more accurate, I should say not accurate, but what is would be better to insert would be things. There may be a better word than that. The English doesn't have a word that really can correspond to the meaning of the Greek spirituals, which implies everything that's involved in this. It's gifts, it's ministries, it's all the operations, it's everything that's involved. Spiritual things is not a good word either. But it is. But things is a very catch-all word in English, and it, at least it's greater than, it's a wider scope than gifts, and it means all those things that are spiritual. I do not want you to be ignorant. The church is woefully ignorant of spiritual things. They don't even know what the word spiritual means. They have all kinds of concepts, wrong concepts, which Balance Number 3 magazine out here in the foyer lets you know what spiritual is and what spiritual isn't. And it's not all these attainments that people have made and all the manner of judgments, but it is talking about somebody who is traveling in spirit. It's spirit you all. It's not solical, it's not soul ical, it's spirit you all. It has to do with your spirit operating in the realms of the spirit with the Spirit of God. It's not how much you have, don't smoke, don't drink, and don't do things. Nothing to do with, I don't keep myself from all that, bless God, and I am spiritual. That doesn't make you a bit spiritual. Now, God's redemption plan for his fallen sons is to repent, confess your sins unto God, and turn your back upon the world, and therefore be born again, or more correctly, regenerated in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit, where He takes your fallen spirit and generates a new spirit that is in tune with God. And then you are to be converted, which means turned about, because you have a new spirit. And then you make a decision publicly, your decision that you make publicly in baptism. Taking a stand. Water baptism is a ratification and an outward act of an inward faith, taking a stand before the church and the world, and making public the stand that you took in private in your heart. And then you have ratified that, and you're forgiven of your sins, and then you're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you are to walk and pray and live in the Spirit, growing spiritually and giving over your soulical and physical man to the leadership of your spirit, which gives itself over to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so that our soulical appetites and soulical thinking might be washed with the water of the Word as brought to us in and by the Spirit. It was never intended that the church not be filled with the Holy Ghost and claim they are, and then live and think soulically and rationalistically and demonically and try to solve all the sin problems in the intellect by a whole long list of do-nots and do's, which is nothing more than the 100 commandments instead of the 10 commandments. But expected to write the laws in the fleshly table of the heart, which doesn't mean in the cardiac muscle, but the heart stands for the spirit. The law should be in the spirit, because there is a spirit of life and you're in love with somebody. You don't want to disappoint them. Not because somebody says, thou shalt not, or you'll go to hell. And so the spirit is to grow. The soul is to conform to the spirit. And the Holy Spirit is to bring our spirits revelation from God, so that we will not live by the severed, brainwashed conscience of man who partaken of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and therefore has a conscience which has now been brainwashed and severed. And that's why so many Christians are having trouble. They're living by a brainwashed, severed conscience. And they're sloppy. Sloppy, sloppy. And it's not really so much sloppy agape as just plain old eros. The erotical of the natural man being fed by the demonic world. And we are to be united in spirit with Christ, with God, and with others. Now, we must learn to transfer from the soulical life to the spiritual life. I really mean this. Get the message. You may not understand today how to do it all. In fact, I'll promise you, you'll not understand how to do it all. In fact, I promise you, no man can tell you how to do it all. In fact, there's no, all the seminars in the world couldn't tell you how to do it. But they can point you to the way. And the way is, the Spirit given you will lead you and guide you into all truth. For you need not that man should teach you, but the Holy Spirit teach you. You say, then what are you doing up there? I'm not standing up here that man may teach you. I'm standing up here that the Holy Spirit might teach you. For God has ordained teachers. And then turned around and said, I need not that man should teach you. We have been too many men teaching us. We need the Spirit to teach us. Through other men. As well as to our own spirits. I want to read a number of scriptures. I don't want you to turn to them because my hour's late and I have them all typed out. Because my excellent typist has done this for me. Jack Hicks' secretary, Bonnie. And I want to just show you one thing. I want to show you the emphasis of Scripture, that everything we are to do it in the Spirit. And not after the natural man who gets a hold of things and tries to do things in his own. Too many Christians are like the man who rose up and said, I'm a self-made man. And the other person looked at him and said, well, that brother relieves God of all the responsibility. There's too many self-made preachers and self-made men, not ordained and called of God. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. You know you can teach in psalms and hymns? And spiritual songs, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Not entertaining people. Singing with grace in your heart toward the Lord. You know you have to have His grace or you can't sing to the Lord? You have to have the grace in here. If you've got judgment in here, you can't sing. You ever seen people in judgment?
Blessed be the ties that bind. You know, bind. You know.
Bound. You have to be free. 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. He never intended to be an intellectual gallery. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices. Well, I won't eat any nuts today because it's Lent. See? and not spiritual sacrifices. To give your spirit unto the Lord and your brethren. Not keep everything choked down. Right? I just don't. Yeah, my experiences are kind of personal. See, personal. In other words, empty, dead. So dry and uninteresting that is not bubbling out. Choked down and demonized. The Lord wants us to sacrifice our spirits, which is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It has to be done by the blood-sprinkled way. That's the only hope we've got to do such things. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. He doesn't say whom I serve with my brain, with my soul, with my body, with my spirit. In the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Well, I just don't see how you could ever expect people to do that. I mean, how can we do something without ceasing? I don't understand. Well, he said, whom I serve in my spirit. Therefore, he was able to do that because his spirit was always had the interchange and was just easy because his whole spirit was constantly sending up the signal. Even if his mouth wasn't speaking it. Even if he was busy doing something else, his spirit was being grieved and concerned and his spirit was sending the signal up. He couldn't quit from praying always. Because the spirit was always concerned and sending the signal home. Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is not of the heart. Circumcision is that of the heart. And by heart he means, he tells you the next verse, in the spirit. In the spirit. And not in the letter. It's not in, thou shalt not commit adultery. He'll kick you out of the church. It's a spirit of the Lord in purity, wanting to love and protect, not a selfish spirit that wants to sell his birthright for a mess of parties that he might feel good for a few moments. That's not what it is. It's a spirit that is in love with God's spirit, that would not do anything to disappoint him, that wants to love in all purity, wants to help this other spirit, wants to help the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, it's something you can do in the spirit so you don't have to struggle in the flesh with demons of selfishness and self-centeredness. Oh, everything is a great big id, as the psychologists call it. Feel good. If it feels good, do it, the world teaches. Old Epicureanism. That we should serve in newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Not because he says do not, but because of the spirit. Romans 8, verses 4, 5, 6. 13, 14, 16, 23, and 26. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Do you know he wants the law fulfilled in us? But how are we going to do it? They never kept it. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit leading them either. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, the Greek is solical, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Now somebody's saying, we gotta beat the body under. Beat the body under. He didn't say that. He said, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. So the deeds of the body are totally mortified with the Spirit that's on them. Now, it's true that if you will not walk after the Spirit, you got to beat this old body. You have to beat it all the way up, but you won't enter the gate. You're going to have to beat it and put it under. Beat it and put it under. You might be able to keep from sinning with a... You'd have to have a tremendous, I don't know, nobody has done it yet. Because what Christ did, he did through the Spirit. He was constantly in the Spirit with his Father. But if you put yourself under totally, you still don't have the positive there unless you operate in the spirit. Spirit you owe. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not everybody that comes to church. Sons of God are those which follow the Father, throughout learning of the Father, learning how to build fences, take care of the sheep, and so forth. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, not with our brain, with our spirit, that we are the children of God. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. See all the emphasis on spirit? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, for, that's what the Greek should be, translation of the Greek should be, for groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 12:11, be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now this Greek word means boiling. Be boiling in the spirit. That means, brother, you're in the heavenly realms. The spirit is in you, energizing. You're full of the spirit. The spirit is enlightening your mind. It's coming out of your mouth. Now you can't just have an experience and not... You can't just live solically, carnally, in this physical, physically in this world, and walk up and want to share a testimony, some wonderful little thing that happened. That is not called being boiling in the spirit. Now, friends, listen to me. We have to begin moving. Now, we've had a marvelous move of the spirit, but that's only to take us to these places. It's only to lift us higher. It's only to give us hope. We're just getting little sips of it. Let's move on into the glory of it. As for me and my house, that will follow me, as you have dedicated, we are going to heaven's gates. We're headed for the Shulamite Bride Company. We're going all the way in the Spirit. We will not let anything hold us back. Tradition, no. No excuses for anything. I am not looking to any pattern of the past. Now, and I'm not going to find every action we do in the Scripture, because that would be unscriptural. Because the Scripture tells us that the Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. And you wouldn't need that if you had it all. He has given the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us someplace we haven't been. This book was only written in the days of the early rain, not the latter rain. And the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. We are moving in, not to something contrary, but something fulfilling more than Pentecost. They only got as far as Pentecost. He's leading us to tabernacle. He's leading us to a place the church has never been. And even as Paul was led of the Spirit, Paul didn't have any scripture for what he did in his church. And well, I mean to say, by way of qualification, not that he was moving anti-scripturally, not that he wasn't in harmony, but you cannot find in the Old Covenant, or you cannot find in the Gospels, what he taught and the pattern of it in his full-bloom revelation, and you can't find the actions. You cannot find back there where he says, okay, to get deacons and so forth. What does it say there? He moved on in things that you do not find back there. And there are people who are troubling him because of it. Well, what right if you drop off circumcision, keeping the Sabbath? I mean, you don't even keep the lamb. You don't even keep the lamb in your Lord's table observance. I mean, where are all the bitter herbs? You know, you're not eating those still. If Jesus is a Passover lamb, how come you dropped off those? See. But Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. I didn't get it from reading the law of Moses. Not even Zechariah. I received it of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Are you drinking of the Spirit? If you drink of the Spirit of life, will you not have life? If you drink of the Spirit of love, will you not have love? If you drink of the Spirit of joy, will you not have joy? Are you drinking of the waters that are bubbling up unto eternal life, that you might have eternal life? This is not all in the dead letter. It's in the Spirit. For the Spirit has come to take the letter and give it life. Spiritual clothing. Men have wrapped this in carnal clothing, intellectual clothing, philosophical clothing, legalistic clothing, fanatical clothing, all kinds of clothing. But he wants it in spirit, you all, clothing. And it will not say the same things after the dead letter as it will say after the spirit. Galatians 3:2-5. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit. You didn't begin in the flesh. You didn't come here and do everything in the flesh and get right and get your life all cleaned up and ask to join the church now because you're now okay. You threw yourself in the mercies of God and bawled your heart out and repented and said, I'm nothing. And God took you in as a sinner saved by grace. It was the work of the Spirit that gave you a new spirit. And all of a sudden you said, Father, I'm home. It was the work of the Spirit. And he said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now thinking that you can be made perfect by the flesh? You can't be made perfect by the flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it will yet be in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You see, now he's not saying that because you can't get there in the flesh, that you should forget it and just live sloppy. That isn't what he's saying. We're not teaching sloppiness by this. Some people are so afraid, the legalist is always afraid, that if you don't aim the law at him, go la 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 la, like that, that he'll walk sloppy. If you just give him grace, you're just saying, blessed my child, it's okay, your sins are forgiven. No, that's not what grace is. Grace is God's mercy as you repent and are sorrowful that he forgives you and gives you hope so that you can again through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh and in the Spirit overcome the flesh. For you, he that are walking in the Spirit shall in no wise fulfill the strong cravings of the lower nature. Galatians 4:6-16. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You Judaizers, you want to put everybody back under the law? That's what his subject was. You want to put everybody back under the law, and I become your enemy because I am telling you that God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. And Jesus walked the shores of Galilee saying, I'm not going to do any miracles for you until you shape up. You got that, son of Abraham? No, that's not what he did. He went around healing all that was sick and delivering them of demons and wasn't even asking them anything about how shoddy their life was. Have you been to the tabernacle lately, son? No. He wasn't asking them questions. He was healing. He came not to condemn but to save. There are ministers today that think themselves so holy and righteous. They have great big long bridges and their eyes are pointed down in the direction of the bridge. They have to look up this way to look at you. And they're sanctimonious. And they walk with such righteousness because they hold themselves higher than others. And they don't know that they're full of dead men's bones. Carnal. They don't know they're in the grips of the devil. They don't know the devil is deceiving them because they don't have the Spirit of Jesus to reach out and love and draw in and save. They want to condemn all the time as, well, we don't sit with those people. We don't with those people. These people, they're always condemning. You mean you're eating with publicans and sinners? You just do this. You know, why are you eating with publicans and sinners? They don't know that God has called us in this hour to save. They want to judge all the time. Always judging. Always putting out pamphlets against Jerry Falwell because he didn't do this right, and Billy Graham, the perfidy of Billy Graham, and all these other things are publishing and pointing at people and pointing at churches and pointing at me and other places. And knowing they don't, all they have to do, you know, they're just always judge. God isn't called to judge. God hasn't called people to pick up people's sins when they find them and scatter them abroad. The scripture says that when there was a sin in Israel, it said, publish it not in Gath, lest the Philistines rejoice. And the Christians are publishing everything they even hear about, even totally wrong, coast to coast and overseas, because they feel a responsibility to their community. How about feeling responsibility to God and your neighbor and the one who's wept over his sins and repented and with boiling tears and he's sorry and God has made him new and he has to face the world again and hope he can make it. But you're still broadcasting, holding up the signs. Who are you that judgeth? Where is, what if God put all of your sins out in front of the world? Have you suffered so many things in vain? I read this. Galatians 5:18-22. I'll close soon. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. See, through the Spirit you can wait for the hope of righteousness. Without the Spirit, you don't really have that hope in you. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Did you get that? Did anybody here hear that besides me? If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Paul said, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. The pure, all things are pure, but we do not stumble your brother as long as the world liveth. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now, let's stop a minute. The fruit of the Spirit. Joy. Are the joy bells ringing? There are some sanctimonious Christians that are so bound in legalism, they got no joy. The only joy that they have is criticizing others and feeling higher. Joy! Joy! In the Holy Ghost. Glory! Love! Peace! You know what peace is? You're not fighting. Peace. Long suffering. What that means? You suffer long with them. You're not impatient with them. You're not cutting them off. You're suffering long with them. You're gentle, not harsh. Gentle. Goodness, faith. Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters in the faith, listen to me. Be careful you walk after the Spirit. Because what you sow, you shall also reap. And if you're going to live your life after the flesh and then just come to church, you shall reap a corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, your body will not corrupt in the ground, but you will be caught up to meet him in the air. And so shall you ever be with the Lord. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. You circumcised people are not even circumcised. You only get the type of it. Of the real, true circumcision. The real circumcision is we that worship God in the Spirit. And you Sabbath day keepers, only keeping the sign, not knowing that the true Sabbath, the rest, has already come. For if Jesus had given them rest, then when in Acts would have spoken of another day, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For they which have entered into rest have ceased from their own works as God did. Let us therefore labor to enter into this rest. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have got lots of confidence in the flesh. No, and have no confidence in the flesh. No, none, zero, none. No confidence that my flesh can make it through. But we have confidence in the Spirit. And so we're going to travel in the Spirit. Almost done. Revelation 1:10. The Greek says, I became in spirit in the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I became in spirit. And in verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So don't blame me if I see the same thing. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit. Oh, carried away in the spirit philosophy, huh, John? Carried away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw. He saw visions. He saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast and so forth. He saw a vision. He saw lots of things. In chapter 21, verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to. He went someplace to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. You know, God wants us to live by the Spirit. And the Spirit will teach you. Do this if you will shuff off the flesh and begin to take time to open this in the spirit. But if you stay bound and narrowly looking and with demonized words saying, I can't, well, I could never do that. Well, I can't do that. Well, I don't believe in this. Well, I could never. Then you are not in the spirit. But when you say, I look not behind, I'm not bound by any tradition, my spirit is totally open to God, and I'm willing to do anything God wants. Run on water, jump, dance, on the head of a pin, it doesn't make any difference. Do anything. Anything the Spirit wants, and I'm not really talking about foolishness, I really mean that I'm willing to open up to the Spirit of the God and do anything the Spirit wants. I will not let fears hold me back. I will get delivered of demons that are binding my spirit. And I'm going to begin to walk according to the Word of God and let the Spirit come to it. I'm not going to be living in this condemnation. I'm going to repent with godly sorrow, get up from my knees, believe, trust God, appropriate, and begin to move out in the Spirit and not say, well, I can't do this because I haven't been, because of what I did yesterday. Forgiven, today we soar in the Spirit. We don't look at somebody and say, well, they all danced before the Lord. You know what they did yesterday? Yeah, they might have repented last night or this morning. How did you know? And the grace of God is sufficient. And so we go on with God.